tonight and turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. We've been taking a walk through the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5, we're going to be reading verses 1 through 7 tonight. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. But among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure. No immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man as an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes upon those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. Father, I ask you tonight, Lord, to again take your word and by your Holy Spirit just speak to our hearts and help us, Lord, to hear exactly what it is you want to say to each one of us. Lord, I want to hear what you want to say tonight. By your Holy Spirit, by your teaching, Lord, because we all need to hear what you have to say. And I pray you'll say it in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever come to a place, but maybe it's a spot in your life or a spot in the road or a spot in your career or whatever else, and you had to make a choice, but you just didn't know which way to go? I think we've all kind of been in that situation before, and sometimes we decide to go one way, and then once we start that way, we wish we'd have gone the other. Sometimes we choose one way and then we go the other way and are glad we did. But how can we know as Christians what we ought to be saying, what we ought to be doing, where we ought to be going, what is our direction in life? And the only way to know that is to know the wisdom of God. And again, wisdom is seeing things from God's perspective and not our own. And the way you can know the wisdom of God is to know the Word of God. The more you take God's Word into your life and begin to live by His Word and begin to operate in His Spirit and begin to understand that everything is about Him, everything is about what He has in store for us, planned for us, where He wants us to go, what He wants us to do. And so we have to make choices in life, and one of the choices is to choose wisely. Now, we could choose foolishly, and I have before, many times in my life, and it didn't turn out well. But if we choose wisely, it will turn out exactly the way God wants it to. Now, it may not be the way that you wanted it to, and that's okay, because God's way is always better than our way. So verses 1 and 2 talk about walking in closeness to God. In other words, abiding in Him, walking in the Spirit. We've been talking about that on Sunday as we go through the book of Romans. But he says, be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. Now, one of the things you see here is that you and I need to imitate him. Now, how do you imitate God? It means you do what he says to do. Because he's never going to lead you in the wrong path. He's never going to tell you to do something that's not in accordance to his will. And so we've got to be connected. One way to be connected is by his love. You see, everything God does is motivated by his love. He loves you so much. He loves me so much. He loves this world so much. He loves your neighbor so much. He loves that brother-in-law. He loves whoever it is in your life that you may not get along with. He loves them. He loves them so much. So it says here to be imitators of God. Well, to be an imitator of God means I've got to love like God loves. And that's not always easy. The way we love is to imitate His love. His love is different than our love. His love is totally different because it's always unconditional and it's always sacrificial. What that means is there's times that I, honestly, I don't really want to love. I'm tired of this person, or I'm tired, whatever. You know, I just don't really want to love. But that's me putting conditions on the situation. And that's me being selfish instead of sacrificial. And so, God, to be an imitator of God means I've got to love that person just like He loves that person. In the very same way. That's not easy. In fact, it's impossible without the empowerment of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So we are to walk in closeness with God in such a way that we love like He loves. And, here's the tough one, we forgive like He forgives. So look back just a little bit to chapter 4, the last verse, right before the verses we started on. Verse 32 says, "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other." How? "Just as in Christ, God forgave you." Now, let me ask you a question. When you asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart, to become your Lord and Savior, when you gave Him lordship of your life, how many of your sins did He forgive? Every single one of them. Every one of them. Now, did we deserve that? No. What we deserve is to be separated from God forever because of our sin. But God took that sin and placed it upon Jesus Christ, the one who had never sinned, and He paid for our sins. So God demonstrated His love for us in this: while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He took our place. So He forgave us, not partially, not mostly, not 99%. He forgave us completely. And that's how we are to forgive. We are to walk in forgiveness. The definition is releasing someone or pardoning them and leaving the punishment up to God. You know, I've done a number of studies on forgiveness, and this is the point that sticks out more often than any of the other points in forgiveness. And it's simply saying, listen, I don't really have a right to not forgive somebody. In fact, I have an obligation to forgive them so that they can be released into God's, into whatever He chooses to do in their lives. As long as I will not forgive them, then I will not be forgiven. He remembers our sins no more because Jesus took the punishment. That's how we are to look at other people. No matter what they've done to you, no matter how bad it was, no matter how much it hurt or it hurt someone in your family, we are to forgive them completely in the same way that Christ forgave us. Aren't you glad Christ forgave everything and that He doesn't hold anything against you? I am. Now I am to forgive the very same way. That's living wisely according to the Spirit. We need to walk in that closeness with God so that we can love people the way He loves them and forgive people the way He's forgiven us. Secondly, we need to walk in cleanliness. Look at verses 3 and 4. We went through these just a moment ago, but I want to read through them one more time. It says, "But among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality, of any kind of impurity, of greed, because they are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving." So we need to walk in purity. The Scripture says, not a hint. That means no stain. In other words, the only way to be stained by sin is to be a part of sin. Have you ever gotten a stain on your clothes that you couldn't get out? I mean, it was there. And you tried every chemical you had and probably burned a hole in it with bleach or whatever, you know. But it just seemed like it wasn't going to come out. In the same way, if we don't walk in cleanliness, we have the opportunity, unfortunately, to stain ourselves and stain others around us. We need to make sure we should not even get close to sin, to live above it, above reproach. In other words, if you know there's a temptation, why would you go run and jump right in front of it? I'm kind of confused sometimes with people, you know, come in, they talk to me about certain things, and then they jump right back out there into the same situation. And, you know, honestly, we probably do the same thing in different areas of our lives. Things that we probably should have taken care of, we didn't. And we just jumped right back into the same situation. God wants us to be pure and holy, set apart for His work. So we are to walk in cleanliness and purity and also in thanksgiving. In other words, turn from speaking the words of this world to speaking faith. Turn from speaking filth to speaking faith. Filthy, foolish talk comes from filthy, foolish hearts. See, because the Scripture says, whatever's in a man's heart will come out his mouth. For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So, I mean, you can't have people who can turn it on and turn it off. You know, they're the same people that during the week they're telling all the off-cover jokes, but then when they come into the house of God, they act like they never say anything like that. God knows our heart. And it is going to come out. Sooner or later, people are going to know it. Words of thanksgiving come from a heart that is overflowing with praise. So we have options here. We can either walk in cleanliness and in thanksgiving, or we can walk in filthiness and foolish talk. I believe I know what the Lord wants us to do, what He wants me to do. How do you want to be known by people around you? Do you want to be known as a person who just lives the way you want to live and does the things that you want to do? Or do you want to be a person that walks uprightly, that stands for things that are right and pure and good and noble and praiseworthy? Psalm chapter 141, verse 3 says, "Set a guard, Lord, over my mouth, and keep watch over the doors of my lips." I think there's more damage done to the kingdom of Christ by the things that we say. Things we may say in anger, things we may say because we're hurt, things that we wish we had never said, but we can't get them back. I can't remember the guy's name now. He's a pastor in Dallas. But he says he wished somehow that when he would have said something he shouldn't have said, he could reel it back in before it actually got out into the hearing area. I think we've all been there. Tony Evans, that's who said it. He said, many times I say something, and after it's left my lips, I go, "Oh, why is that even going out there? I wish I could get it back." And you can't. We need to walk in closeness. We need to walk in cleanliness. And then in verses 5 and 6, it shows us that we ought to be walking in wisdom. "For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man as an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient." You see, if we walk in wisdom, we will be walking in accordance to God's plan. But there is the foolish person who believes there's really no consequence for their sin. "Oh, hey, I've already been saved. I can do what I want to do." Oh, yeah? Is that correct? We're not our own anymore. We've been bought with a price. Therefore, we are to glorify God in our mortal bodies. But they choose what they want to do. It becomes their lifestyle, and there's no conviction because their God is themselves, and they live to please that God The Scripture calls those people idolaters. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't want to be an idolater. I don't want to worship myself. I don't even like myself most of the time. I mean, because I know how far away I am from where God wants me to be. But I'm not going to give up. I'm going to continue to keep my eyes fixed on Him because He's the author and perfecter of my faith. And so for the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross, paid for my sin. Now the wise person is the one who hears God and then does what? Obeys Him. You see, not only do they hear the words of God, do they see the words of God, do they read the words of God, but then they do what God says. This is a person who's not easily deceived because they listen to the Spirit of God. Now, folks, there's a lot of stuff going on around us daily. A lot of things that are being spoken by technically intelligent people. And they're telling you what you can and can't do and what you can and can't think and what you... And they're spewing all kinds of stuff out there. And some of it may be right and some of it may be very wrong. So how do we know what to listen to? Well, fortunately, we have a little thing called the Holy Spirit living inside of us. And if we pass everything through the Holy Spirit, we'll know what we ought to do and what we ought not to do. See, a wise person not only hears God, he obeys God, and they are not easily deceived because they listen to the Spirit of God rather than to everything else around us. They realize that He is Lord over everything in their life. You know what? Nothing is out of control. Well, people think everything's out of control. Hey, God's in control. He is in control. I just need to be in line with Him. Seek Him first and His righteousness, and all the other things will be added as well. I don't have to worry about what's going on in this world. I just need to stay close to Him. And look at what verse 7 says. It says, therefore, do not be partners with these kind of people, the ones he has just mentioned, people who try to deceive you with empty words. What that means is we need to be set apart, sanctified. The word for that is saints. I don't really like to use the word saints because people think of that automatically, think we're Catholic or something. Folks, it's not that at all. A saint is a person who's saved and set apart for God's work. And how do we know that? Because we begin to walk in holiness. We are to live a holy life. When people look at us, they ought to see Jesus in us. Because we are set apart for Him, not set apart to do what we want to do. Not set apart to just do good works. We are set apart to live for Him. When people see us, they should see Him. This holiness can only come from Him. Do you get the picture here that everything is about Him? It is. And it should be for us as Christians. Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6. Says it like this: all of us have become like one who's unclean, and all of our righteous acts are like filthy rags. I mean, everything we think we could do that makes us look good before God is nothing. Romans chapter 6, verse 12, or 19, sorry. Just as you used to offer yourselves as slaves to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer yourselves as slaves to righteousness that leads to holiness. That word offer literally is the picture of taking our lives before God and placing ourselves on the altar. In fact, in Romans chapter 12, it says that we ought to offer ourselves up as a sacrifice to God. When we do that, when we offer ourselves as slaves, righteousness will lead to holiness in our lives. Romans chapter 6, verse 22. But now that you've been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. Folks, there's a lot of people out here in this world, most people I would say, they're looking for anything that they think will help them through their lives to make them feel better, to get to a point in their lives where they can do whatever they want to do and not be bound up by financial burdens or whatever else. And I can tell you what, folks, there's a lot of people that are in that boat. But the fact is, no matter if you live a life that you want to live and you think that you have everything that you've ever wanted, you're still going to die. In fact, the Scripture says, it's appointed unto every person a time to die, and after that, the judgment. It doesn't matter how good you live, how wealthy you become, how great you are at your business or whatever else, you will stand before God. We are to live a holy life, set apart. That's what the word saint means. Set apart means transformed, changed, different. When you came to know Jesus, did things in your life change? Absolutely. Do they continue to change? It ought to be a daily changing in our lives as God continues to do His work in us. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, I mentioned this a while ago. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, what He's done for us, to offer yourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. And do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, good and pleasing and perfect will. We need to be different. We don't need to conform to the ways of this world and to the thoughts of this world and to the patterns of this world. But we need to conform to the patterns of God and His Word. In 2 Corinthians 5:17 simply tells us that because we know Jesus, we become a new creation. The old things are gone and the new is here. And we begin following Him and not ourselves any longer. Saints means set apart or sanctified. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, so that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. That's where God wants us to be. That's what God wants us to proclaim. That I once was a sinner, but now I'm saved by grace. Will I still sin? More than likely. Do I want to? No. I want to please my Father. I want to do what He wants me to do. And as we begin to walk in Him, as we begin to become more and more closer to His wisdom and understanding, He will do His work in us. He will be the potter's hands that creates what He wants to in us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You so much for this Word, because it's straight out of Your Word, and it just talks to our hearts, and it tells us where we are and where we need to be. Lord, there's many times that I want to be walking in wisdom, but my selfishness gets in the way, and I have to get right, I have to confess that, and die to myself. Lord, we are a very hard person to let die. But Lord, You want us to come to that place so that You can live fully and completely in us. So Lord, I pray that You'll help us. Help me, Lord. I need Your help. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, folks.